Troopers, I just received new orders. Our superiors say the war is canceled. We can all go home. Bison is getting paid off for his crimes. And our friends who have died here will have died for nothing. But we can all go home. Meanwhile, ideals like peace, freedom, and justice, they get packed up. But we can all go home. Well, I'm not going home. I'm gonna get on my boat, and I'm going upriver, and I'm going to kick that son of a bitch Bison's ass so hard,
hard,
hard, that the next Bison wannabe is gonna feel it. Now, who wants to go home, and who wants to go with me?
And here we are with a new episode of Retro Junk. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been following Retro Junk, we did we review old movies. And by review them, we just kind of talk about what happens in the movie and then just make jokes about them.
I write letters to movies.
Do you like my lasers in that intro?
That was good. I like the lasers.
Like 80s, 90s.
Yeah,
lasers.
No, I gotcha. Yeah.
Dear Die Hard.
So we've done two movies so far. We reviewed Last Action Hero, which we all think is a good movie, even though a lot of people argue with us. And we reviewed RoboCop, which is an amazing movie. Excuse me.
They're both amazing.
But I wanted to do some not so good movies. So this
wait, are you saying this is not a good movie?
I'm saying this is a terrible movie.
That's up for debate.
I'm talking about 1994's Jean-Claude Van Damme vehicle, Street Fighter.
Well, this falls into it's so bad it's good.
I used to think that until I watched it again.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Alright.
I wasn't having a good time. This is a movie I own on digital video disc.
That was a very difficult watch for you.
It was not easy.
You're kind of fighting with yourself the whole movie. You're like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
We'll get
why
into it.
Why is Ken and Ryu like... Okay.
quick synopsis for those of you who are not familiar. This is an American action movie based loosely, and I say very loosely,
very loose,
on the video game franchise Street Fighter by Capcom. This movie stars Raul Julia and Jean-Claude Van Damme. This movie, believe it or not, was a commercial success, making three times its budget. Really? Budget.
Yeah, but its budget was like $15.
But although critics and fans of the video game panned the film, calling it garbage juice, a smelly turd, and an abortion.
Garbage juice.
Oh, come on.
Garbage juice.
Yeah, Julia was, however, praised for his performance and nominated for a Saturn Award. Does anybody know what a Saturn Award is? And I'm being serious. I don't know.
Sega Saturn?
Yeah, probably. He took this role while suffering from stomach cancer. Because he took the role because his kids really wanted him to be in this movie. And
did Street Fighter
this
kill
movie
him?
Subsequently killed him.
No, was he in Romero after this?
Wow.
I don't know.
I love me some Raul Julia.
He's a great actor.
He had one more movie.
But Street Fighter killed him.
Let's he has one
let's
more.
Just clear the air.
Raul Julia had one more movie after this.
This was. I think they said that this was his last theatrical performance.
Yeah.
Maybe it was released. They were released at different times.
Because I think Romero. Yeah, was
I know.
In Argentina.
I know he had a movie that was released right after this. That was like good.
Yeah, like he had like a redeeming
like,
role. That
yeah,
like,
he was like the Pope or like the Bishop in that.
The director. This was directed by a man named Stephen E. D'Souza. He wrote such films as The Running Man, Die Hard, Die Hard 2, Commando, and he wrote, so those are the movies he wrote. He directed shit besides Street Fighter, nothing, just crap. He stated that he didn't want to make a generic martial arts movie. He wanted to make a mix between Star Wars, James Bond, and a war movie.
What?
Yeah.
What? And he succeeded.
And he birthed the apocalypse.
What?
So, ladies and gentlemen, are we ready to dive into Street Fighter?
For me, a couple more chips before
just
it gets annoying.
Beat me over the head with it. It's fucking pummel me.
Alright, so the first thing I noticed while watching this movie is that during the opening credits, one of the credits is Bison's costume design. Bison's costume design.
Just Bison?
Just Bison.
Okay.
Got an opening credit. Whoever created that stupid fucking suit that he wears throughout the entire movie was credited on the opening credits.
Must have been friends with the producer or something.
So, the movie opens and we immediately get to meet Bison and his stormtroopers. And I'm not saying that to be funny. He calls them fucking Bison troopers. He has a shitload of American hostages played by extras who are super happy to be there. They're fucking smiling when they're like herding them into the fucking little Dungeon of Doom there. They're all, like, there's a couple guys that are like, ugh, like, we're in a movie. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, they don't look sad or anything. They're just like, dee dee dee. Like, how about directing the fucking extras, dude? Seriously.
Wow.
So, it's just Bison rambling and blah, blah, blah. I have hostages. And then, so then we segue to, well, the whole thing's being narrated by Chun-Li Zhan, played by...
Oh, yeah, the news reporter.
Played by Ming-Na Wen of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's the Asian of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow.
She is. She's the what's her name in the show, Sage?
May.
She's good in that show, not so much
Asia.
In this movie. The first Van Damme scene is super awkward when she interviews Van Damme, when she interviews Guile. He says, I know you like to look at yourself on TV, so look at this. Yeah! And, like, doesn't flip him off. He just kind of pretends to, like, puts, like, crosses the arms.
Gives him the,
like, the up yours thing.
Yeah.
Why? I know you like to look at yourself on TV, so look at this.
Doesn't make sense.
What?
No, you can only imagine that gesture means a fist up your ass.
Yeah.
Right?
I think
that's gotta be.
When I was a little kid, I thought it meant the middle finger, fuck you, but I don't want to give you the middle finger because I'm in public.
I kind of thought it was like a punch to the butthole.
It was fist up the ass?
But I think it's a fist up the ass.
All right, we'll go with that. He wants to fist Bison's ass.
Well, he's like, right. Take a look at this.
We're hitting the ground running.
All right. So, segue back. I'm kind of going in between, but. This always strikes me funny, as something funny about movies in general. Why do villains need a countdown clock to execute the hostages?
They need a giant doomsday clock.
Like, that's fucking noble. Like, you have 72 hours to pay me $20 billion or I kill the hostages. Can't you just ballpark it? If we don't have the money and there's like an hour to go, I might just kill him.
Like, wouldn't it be more evil to just like keep people on that seat? Though,
yeah.
Like, their pants,
yeah,
like...
I want the money. Give it to me soon. Or
it might happen now.
It might happen, yeah, in 10 minutes, in 2 days. You don't fucking know. But he literally has, like, a shitty digital
clock. You
have
1 week.
Yeah. He gives him 72 hours to wire fucking money into a stupid Swiss bank account. It's just really noble. It was just,
like
to the second.
I feel like Switzerland wouldn't play.
No, they wouldn't. Also, in that opening scene, Guile completely rats out Charlie. And gets him, like, taken in.
What a dick.
Because movie's like, Charlie, we're coming for you. We're coming. And then, and then Charlie kind of grimaces because he's standing there with the hostage. He's like, he's mean to me. Yeah. And then, like, Bison kind of glares at him and he's like, And then he takes his dog tags, Carlos Blanca, Charlie. He, like, figures it out. It just takes him a minute. Just totally fucking rats him out. Like, that's on you, dude.
Yeah.
That's
he outed a double agent.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
Well, I don't know. He was just like a hot... I don't know.
He was a hostage, but, like, he should have...
After that scene, they try to track... They try to track the signal, and they don't. And, like, DJ's like, they're trying to track this... My fucking... They're all gonna be bad, my voices. So, they cut it off before they could track them. Whatever.
Yeah.
So then we start to meet the heroes. We meet Guile, the French-American. He's a American
played
colonel.
Played by a
Belgian.
Austrian.
No, by a Belgian. He's Belgian, right?
Yeah, he's Belgian.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He's Belgian.
He's the muscles from Brussels.
Yeah, exactly. He's a French-American guy. We meet his buddies, T-Hawk, who is an allied nations soldier. who does nothing.
Who's in the game?
He's in the game.
A Native American.
Yeah, they mention they glance over that towards the end of the movie. We'll get there. And Cammy, played by Australian pop star Kylie Minogue. Okay. Minogue.
Now,
are you going to hit me with the same fact I'm about to hit you with?
Yeah, I think
Van Damme was banging her during this movie. According to Van Damme, he was giving her the
Van Damage?
Yeah, the Van Damme. Because
he can do the splits, no problem.
They were doing the hunka chunka.
you mean the Wild Bumble?
Thank you for picking up on my Demolition Man reference.
The Wild Bumble.
The hunka chunka. Hunka
chunka,
why are we doing Demolition Man right now?
We'll get there.
Can we do Demolition Man next?
Maybe. Okay. We'll see. We also meet, so then we meet, well, we already met Chun-Li, but we get to meet her, and her, her cohorts, Balrog, played by Grandel Bush, who was one of the Johnsons from Die Hard.
Okay,
remember the two Johnsons?
Oh, shit,
Agent Johnson and Agent Johnson?
I didn't know that.
Yep. And, E. Honda, who is now Samoan for some reason, was Japanese in the game. Producers and, filmmakers said, Samoan, Japanese, what's the diff?
They overrided it, said he's Samoan.
Yep.
Now he's just Pan-Asian.
I guess.
Pacific Rim.
So, after we meet them, we segue back to General Bison. General M. Bison, M standing for Maroon in this movie. He's got a nice maroon suit.
Maroon?
I just throwing that out there. He's got a maroon suit.
All right. It stands for man.
Because
he's manly.
And his computer specialist, DJ, who is Jamaican, like, in the game, and that is all. That is it. His one characteristic is Jamaican. Yeah. And Zangief, who I will say looks pretty freaking cool.
Zangief was the best part of the movie.
He was the only character that looked like he did in the in the game.
I think he even has the chest hair that Zangief has in the game.
I can... Yeah. He was down, a Russian.
Yes.
Down to the fucking chest there.
Yes.
Those Russians.
So then we segue and we meet gun-running good guys Ken and Ryu in awful 90s street clothes.
Well, are they good guys?
No, they're nothing. They're nothing.
They're just kind of caught in the middle of...
They're very inconsequential.
They're just caught in the middle of the shit movie.
I'll tell you what what didn't catch me was how important their characters were. What did catch me was Ken's brown vest over denim shirt and tie.
Yeah.
Who the fuck dressed these people?
It was the 90s.
Like, that fucking, the person that designed Bison suit got an opening credit. I guess there was nobody left to do
the
rest of the
fucking
cast.
There was no budget left for Ken's suit.
They're gun runners, and they're selling Sagat, who was a character from the game.
Thailand!
They're selling Sagat guns, just like in the game, right? Remember that stuff in the game?
Oh, yeah.
USA.
They're
toy guns, so, you know, they get caught, and they make Ryu fight Vega in a cage. When it's that, they set up to that. That's going to happen.
Brazil.
So then we segue back. It just bounces back and forth, this movie. It makes no fucking sense.
Very chubby, yeah.
So then we go to Dr. Dalsim, and he's making Charlie Blanco watch YouTube clips of people being killed while pumping him with Bane Venom.
Okay.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
So that happens.
Yeah, why is Dalsim a bad guy?
He's not. He's reluctantly doing this because he's a prisoner.
Like, it's like they had a pool of people, and they almost had, like, they picked kickball teams.
Yeah.
So, like,
they were like, make him
the
doctor, make him the soldier, make him the gun runner, make him the mob guy. Because, like, Sagat's the mob guy. Yeah, make Zangief will be the soldier. All right, so we go back to Ryu. He is in a cage with Vega there. And it's starting to look a little bit like Street Fighter here. Remember the cage level?
The cage jump.
Yeah. That's Vega's level. So here we go. You know, we're getting ready to have an actual fight.
It's the Vega Yahoo noise. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yahoo!
So here we go. We're getting ready to fight. Nope. Here comes Colonel Asshole right through the fucking wall with a tank. You're all under arrest. So he arrests everybody, and they all put their hands up. There's like 50 fucking people in this place, and it's like him and like two guys with like handguns.
Professional fighters.
So Guile puts everybody... They all... go to prison. I can't even like describe. Remember, I was describing
it's
RoboCop, and it was like
fever dream.
The narrative like flowed, and it was easy for me to like tell you.
It was comprehensive,
right? So, Guile's big plan now is hatched. Guile has Ryu and Ken.
Like, I can tune out. I can tune you out for like 2 minutes, and I can come back and be like, "What the fuck?"
So I'm just reading right from my notes. So Guile has Ryu and Ken, who have no loyalty to anyone, infiltrate Sagat's gang, who is now selling guns to Bison, which was never mentioned until now. So the AN allied nations can find Bison. This is definitely the fucking Street Fighter I grew up on. It's like, man.
They couldn't use the word UN, so they have to make it.
So that's the big scene.
I'm not playing the game. I'm watching.
Yeah. So that's the big scene that unfolds where Ryu and Ken, they help Sagat and Vega and their whole gang break out of prison, and then remember Kenny shoots Guile. Oh no, Guile's dead.
You're getting to my favorite part.
Movie's over.
You're getting to my favorite
you
part
have
of the movie.
A favorite part of Street Fighter.
Guile's dead, and so they all escape. Guile's dead. Everyone shrugs, and everyone's like meh. And then fucking Chun-Li pulls a tracker out of her ass and puts it on the truck. Right. She literally just like, ooh, a tracker, and like throw it. Like, where the fuck did that come from? Why do you have a tracker?
Everybody always has a tracker.
Ay, ay, ay.
Because she's in the media.
So we go back to Bison, and this is the part with Bisonopolis, where he's telling the guy that, like, I want the food court to be bigger. All the biggest franchises are going to want to be in there. Yeah. And that's when he gives his first batshit fucking crazy speech, the Pax Bisonica.
Pax Bisonica.
And then she's like,
ah, the road not taken. But why? Why do they still call me a warlord? And mad? All I want to do is to create the perfect genetic soldier. Not for power, not for evil, but for good. Carlos Blanca will be the first of many. They shall march out of my laboratory and sweep away every adversary, every creed, every nation, until the very planet is in the loving grip of the Pax Bisonica. And then peace will reign in the world, and all humanity shall bow to me in humble gratitude.
That was beautiful.
What is happening? What is going on?
He's a megalomaniac.
But he's like, this is the first speech about how he's like, everyone's like the world's savior and everyone's gonna bow to
him. Why was he M. Bison? Why Bison?
He was Maroon Bison. I can actually tell you why that's why in the Japanese version of Street Fighter, Balrog was M. Bison. Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Vega, I believe this. I think Vega was M. Bison. Like, they just moved the names around.
They moved the names around.
So they gave Balrog his own name. And then they moved M. Bison to the M. Bison character. Like, they just
that
fucked it up.
Know, yeah.
Yeah, they fucked it all up, is basically what happened. I don't know the specifics, but that's it. Is he, in the Japanese version, he was M. Bison meant Mike Tyson. He was Balrog.
Yeah.
So they just switched that to the M. Bison character and made him Balrog. Fucking infuriating.
Why'd they fuck it up?
I don't know. I don't know, man. It was just like, it was lost in translation. Something fucked up. I need a drink.
It was Mike Bison.
Where were we?
It was Mike Bison.
So Guile pretends to be dead for like a day. Just sits in a fucking morgue.
It's a while.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
It's a very long time.
Yeah, he decides to be dead. He sits in a body bag. Probably shit himself.
Yeah. When next time we see him, he fucking comes out of a body bag.
Yeah, Chun-Li finds
him. It's been like a day or two.
She's snooping around.
What was he eating?
Nothing. He was eating his fucking feet for all I know.
He was fucking sucking farts.
No, the ventilation.
No, you
body
know
bag
he was hotboxing himself and
it was
so hard.
He was like, oh.
Like, he forgot where he was. He's like, oh, damn it.
Oh, shit.
That's like the,
I'm in a fucking airtight bag.
It kind of reminds me of True Detective when McConaughey, he's got the, where he does all his work, it's almost like a storage space.
Yeah.
Like, you smoke 3 butts, you're dead.
Dude,
there's no ventilation in that
place. It's just fucking Dutch ovens all day long.
So Guile pretends to be dead. Chun-Li finds him. Chun-Li, I want Bison's head. Guile tells Chun-Li, this war isn't about your personal vendetta. It's about mine.
Well, that's fucking selfish.
So T-Hawk and Cammy, they take Chun-Li. They're going to arrest her because she broke in and fucking found his stupid dead body. She escapes them by jumping out a fucking window. T-Hawk goes, "What a screw up." And then Guile pokes his head and he goes, "What a woman." And everyone goes, "Zoinks." Like, where did you come
did
from?
They really? Zoinks?
No, they make like a goofy face.
I kind of really wish they said Zoinks.
She, all right, this bugged me though. They're taking her, like, they're carrying her out to, like, put her in jail. She, like, kicks one of them and jumps out a window and escapes, and he goes, "What a screw up." No, you fucking screwed up. You let her go, you idiot.
You didn't stop her.
What a woman. So,
what a woman.
So Chun-Li and her racist friends pretend that he's circus... This is in my notes! So they pretend to be circus performers. All the stereotypes are totally racist. So they pretend to be circus performers for the now joining gangs of Sagat and M. Bison. Sagat's going to sell him guns. I don't know where he got guns. He's got guns. He's going to sell him the Bison.
Oh, man.
So Chun-Li and her racist friends pretend to be circus performers, and then they try to take everybody out with a truck full of explosives. But then they tell them about, like, there's like a little video and it's like, "Hi, Bison, we're going to kill you."
Yeah.
And they show the truck coming. So they're just like, "Get out. Let's
yeah,
go."
Yeah.
And then they get out and
let's
the thing blows up. Oh, and in this scene, we find out the motivations for E. Honda and Balrog. What is that?
That's the face of a predator.
Yeah, it is.
Jean-Claude with Cammy.
So we find out the motivations of E-Honda and Balrog. You see, Bison and Shadow Lu destroyed their reputations. Ooh! Destroyed their reputations. Not, like, killed their family. Not now. Fucking smeared their name.
Yeah.
Called them fucking assholes to the media.
Awful. All
right.
These two guys, not good.
Not good. Not good people. It ruined his sumo career.
It's fucking terrible.
And in the scene where Sagat is selling them the guns, we get our first look at Bison dollars. These dollars will be worth 5 British pounds when he's done kidnapping their queen.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, though. It's like 5-1.
Yep. So it was Ken and Ryu that pointed out that Chun-Li and E. Honda and the other idiot were trying to blow them up. So then, like, that ingratiates him and they become Bison troopers. So remember they walk... So then they get to Shadow Lu and they walk Ken and Ryu through, like, the little thing. And they have, like... They put them in the Ken and Ryu gi, which makes no sense because it has, like, Bison stuff on it. Why aren't they all red? Why are they white and red?
I don't know.
And they walk
to be true.
And the best part is Zangief, like, walks them through, like, the locker room, and they're like, "How you doing? Hey." And there's just, like, this really funny propaganda music playing in the background. It's like it sounds like the Russian, like, "Oh, da, da," like that really, like, that, like, crazy war music. So then they're gearing up for the big boat scene. You know what I'm talking about.
I love this part.
So they're gonna basically, they have, like, a water assault, basically. Like, instead of going in through the air, they're gonna go in on boat.
Yeah.
Because
conveniently.
Yeah. So Guile's rounding up the troops, getting ready to go, and then the nerdy guy in the suit shows up just as the boat assault's about to take place, and he says, "No more war. We're gonna pay Bison $20 million for the hostages. You've lost your balls."
is what
he tells him.
You lost your balls.
He relieves Guile of his command. The AN shoulders shake their heads in sadness. And if you watch T-Hawk and Cammy during Guile's speech, their acting direction was, "Look like you're going to puke, but don't." Because if you watch it, they're both like, look like they're about to vomit.
Well, they're very upset.
So then he gives the big, who wants to go home and who wants to go with me? And then, so they go with him.
Good part of
it. Yeah. So then we segue to...
Did we already go past the part when Guile goes over the attack strategy where the Asian guy who... I don't know if it's dubbed or...
It's dubbed.
It's going to be dubbed.
Yeah, it's dubbed. It's Captain Sawada or whatever his name
is. Yeah, he's like...
Supposed to be Phelan, by the way.
Really?
Producers said, too generic. We'll make him somebody nobody's heard of.
Okay.
And he's totally dubbed. Yes.
Okay,
confirmed.
Yeah, he says...
Look that up today.
He says, for somebody to go in there, they'd have to be... out of the mind. And Guile says,
luckily.
Well, luckily, Gatto has driven me insane.
Bison has driven me insane.
Oh, yeah. Bison has driven me insane.
Dude, Van Damme fucking mails this in, dude. One stamp.
How much you...
Just
did
totally
you
fucking mails this
did
in.
Did you look up how much he got paid to be in this?
I don't know.
That would have been a really good stat.
Yeah, I don't... It'd probably make me mad. So then we segue to the Bison Chun-Li fight. Remember, he puts her in the stupid red dress and he's like sitting in his fucking easy, in his easy chair.
Well, hold on.
We haven't got there yet. I know where you want to go.
Okay.
I know where you want to go.
So this happens first. Sorry.
Yeah. So, and maybe, I honestly, the whole movie is a fever dream at this point. We get, more awesome Bison in this part because she tells him the story about how he killed her father and he totally no-sells the story. He's just like,
yeah.
I don't know what the fucking talking about.
I kill a ton of people.
No, he's just like, when Bison graced your village, it was the greatest day of your life. But for me, it was Tuesday. My favorite are the various Bison paintings. There's one of him on a steed.
Yeah.
And then there's sad clown Bison. It's like a clown, but it's with the hat and everything. It's really fucking weird.
That Bison is like Vladimir Putin in real life.
So Chun-Li beats up Bison, but he escapes because her stupid friends show up and they say, Chun-Li, we're here. And she turns around and then she turns back and Bison's like behind a glass case.
But this is the part where we go, it's gas.
And then the gas comes down and he goes, it's gas. And they're all looking at it. But thank you.
It's gas.
It doesn't kill them. It just makes them sleepy.
Yeah.
And then the furnace with the skull, it like blends in with his face and he's like, ah.
Yeah.
It's so fucking stupid.
Oh, man.
So the most awkward really part of the, when they're traveling to Shadaloo via boat,
yep.
The most awkward part is when Guile is on his way. Just pops in some old movies.
Pops in some old videos.
Yeah, just like a home movie of him and Charlie. It's like the two of them, they're both in uniform. It looks like they've been friends for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, it's not old. It was just filmed yesterday.
Yeah.
And like, there's like these two nondescript like wives in there and they're just like joking around. Charlie's not even looking at him. I don't even think he knew fucking they called action.
No.
It's terrible. It's just so awkward, and this is really weird
just,
music
it's
playing.
Just,
yeah,
it's just
like
footage
really,
from the rap party.
He's sad, and he's like, he pops in the video, and he's like, oh. He's like, oh, Charlie.
I really miss the happy times.
He has to watch the video of his friend.
Yeah,
because he's gonna get hooked up.
Yeah.
So he knows he's doing the right thing.
So the boat assault gets ruined by Bison has that stupid arcade console, because remember, this is a video game movie.
Oh,
yeah.
We have to put some kind of video game-esque.
Yeah. He releases the bombs. You think they kill them. They don't. I'm just gonna tiptoe through this last part. I'm just gonna run through
it right now. It's
so the big finale happens when the AM storms the island. So Guile, T-Hawk, and Cammy, they don't even have guns. They just kick people.
Yeah.
They each have a sidearm.
No, they do once in a while.
The big finale happens. Very little shooting. A lot of punching. Guile finds Charlie and immediately wants to kill him.
Yep.
Because he's like all like, Charlie, what did they do to you? And he's like, oh, I'm a monster. And he's like, I'll make them pay. But first, I'm going to shoot you in the fucking face.
Yeah.
And then Dalsim's like, no, don't. You have no rights. And then he explains to him like, he's a man. You can't kill him. And
he's
like,
not a monster.
I guess you're right. And he doesn't kill him. He was it's like 30 seconds. Like, if I found Corey, like a zombie Corey, I'd be like, oh, that's so sad.
Like
it would
pump with venom.
Yeah, like, I would have to, like, really bring myself up to
count. Or maybe, like, I would, like, do something, which, by the way, I really appreciate that you guys wouldn't just kill me right away. It says a lot.
I'd have
but
to bring myself
you
want to
be, like, provoked
right.
to do it, like, did he, like, snap at
no,
you? Or
no, he just
no,
looks all
he
sad.
Just stands there.
Yeah, just looking all
I'm
sad.
I can't leave him like this.
I want some food.
So, the final fight is ridiculous. Van Damme flies out of a pod. Remember, like, they open up the incubation chamber because Blank is supposed to be in there to kill all the hostages?
Yep.
And he literally kicks at, like, and flies at a 45-degree angle. Just,
well, yeah.
Just takes off.
But Van Damme can really do that.
Probably. So he flies out of the pod for no reason. He defeats Bison, but then Bison gained superpowers.
Obviously.
Yep.
He flies.
Yeah. Well, he kind
of
didn't.
Actually, you know what I noticed about the final fight? A lot of stunt double for Mr. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of dude in just a fucking real hard fucking blonde wig.
Stupid blonde wig.
Yeah, Bison flies because fuck it. Who cares at this point? just whatever.
Jesus Christ. Just
the whole fucking place blows up and they pose in the end. I really had a power through the end of this movie. I used to think that like it was so bad that it was good, but I was a fucking burn. I just couldn't. Maybe it was like I was in a mood today. I mean, All in all, like, in all honesty, though, like, Julia, like, Raul Julia goes for it. He really does go for
it. He goes over the top.
That's how he is as a person.
Yeah, like, he really went for it, though. It was like, and you could tell his, the director's direction was like, be, like, you know, over the top, maniacal, like, classic kind of cartoony villain. And he does it. He does it really well. It's just, he's got nothing to work with. His, the only dialogue that, like, actually, like, you feel anything from, I mean, he was the only real actor in this movie, let's be honest. I mean, Van Damme is good in other movies. He's not bad in certain movies. This one, he was just like, fuck it, just pay me. Just pay me.
Yeah.
What year was that, 94?
Yeah.
Was that pre or post Time Cop?
I think it was pre.
I think it was pre Time Cop.
Yeah, because Time Cop, I think, was 95 or 96.
He only has one fight scene in this movie, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
It's like they have too many characters to work with.
Like every Van Damme movie. That's why he jumps around. He's got like three, four fight scenes.
At least.
Yeah, no, this one not so much. Yeah. All right, a couple of the notes I wanted to mention. So I own this on DVD. One of the reasons I bought this is because I saw that it had director's commentary. So I wanted to know, does this guy know that this movie's a fucking joke? Or, like, is he for real, like, this is, so technically...
This was my vision for
and that's it. And that's the commentary.
No,
yeah,
fucking really?
Yeah, he's real
proud. I bet he was on, like, some kind of gag order or something from, like, 21st Century Fox or something.
Like, just...
That they're like, I don't give a fuck what you do. We will hurt your family if you downplay this movie. You know, I still stand by it.
Well, I believed in it then.
I believe in it now.
I've heard the commentary for, like, Batman and Robin, what's his name?
In the making of Batman and Robin, they're all like, yes, this is good.
Well, who's the director?
Schumacher.
Yeah, Joel Schumacher. I heard, like, in the commentary, Schumacher's like, what was I thinking?
Yeah, this I'm sure. Bad. All right, so a couple things I wanted to say.
Yeah.
So, the DVD, it's called the Extreme Edition.
Obviously.
So, first off, the
Is that the only version?
The dildo's responsible for this abortion. If they bothered to do any research on the original material that this is based on, don't you think they would have called it the championship version or hyper version or something that had to do with the fucking game, not extreme edition that has no tie to the game whatsoever?
No, it would have been turbo.
There's outtakes on the DVD. And they're not even fucking outtakes.
Are they staged outtakes?
No. It's like if I had a CAT camera and I shot them shooting the movie. That's what they called outtakes.
That's a blooper reel.
It's nothing. It's them filming the movie. It's like the guy with the hard camera, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just like, and like them like doing a scene and then a guy filming that. I have a fucking headache. I just finished this movie before you guys got here. I don't know if you can tell. Very mad. I said Sawada was supposed to be Fei Long. The producers changed it because Fei Long's character was too generic. So this guy was a fucking This guy was a fucking revelation.
What's the alternative?
I don't know. So they shot this in Thailand, which good for them, because that's where it's supposed to take place. The Thai government, the original plan for the final scene was an aerial assault instead of a boat assault. Thai government said, fuck that. We're not letting you do it. So they had to go with the boat scene.
Plus, boats are cool.
No. They use Disney fuck sound effects for some of the punches. Disney.
Wow.
Yeah, if you go back and listen, they're there. I noticed them today. Shit. This is a weird one, and I don't even know if I believe it. The director deferred his salary to pay the cast. What cast? These people, like, what actors were demanding money?
M. Bison's fucking...
Yeah, pay him in Bison dollars. Seamstress. Pay him in fucking Bison dollars. Jesus, like, none of these guys were, like, big actors, except, I mean, Van Damme at the time, probably.
Maybe, you know, you have to imagine, though, when they were releasing this movie, they must have thought this was going to be, like, dude, we're fucking sitting on, like, a blockbuster.
I don't know, man. Yeah, maybe they did.
Well, I mean, at that time,
that
they're like,
obviously believes in it.
I think at this time, they were like, oh, this is such a big game, like, this has to make money.
I don't know.
I mean, they. I think they really thought it was going to be, like, printing money when it went to the movies.
The final thing that I wrote that I found out today was Van Damme actually tried to reboot the franchise back in 2007.
Really?
Yeah, he wanted to take it back. He wanted to produce it. He got Dolph Lundgren involved as an unknown character. He had contacted four or five original cast members, and they were all game.
Well, yeah, because that's all they fucking did.
So then the whole thing fizzled out, and that's when they got that stupid Legend of Chun-Li movie.
Oh, really?
And then they wanted him to play Guile, and he was so spurned that his original vision didn't come out that he just said, why would you do it?
Van Damme looks like shit now, too.
Yeah, he's 'cause old.
He's very thin. He doesn't have, like, a six-pack.
He looked okay in Expendables, too.
Yeah, fine. I kind of want to see that, what was the movie with him? He's in the jungle?
Oh, like Ready to Rumble or Ready to Jungle or something?
King of the Jungle or something like that?
Jungle to Jungle?
I don't know. He's in some jungle movie, and I want to see it, because it's Van Damme.
So, like we were saying before, like, this is one of those movies that, like, we kind of joke around about, like, haha, like, Street Fighter, it's so bad that it's good. It's just kind of bad.
This retro junk went dark.
It did.
It went from movies that we love to just fuck Street Fighter.
Well, I wanted, because we did two episodes of, like, these movies are great.
Love fest.
Yeah, and I wanted to go a different way.
Had to bring it, we don't love every single movie.
No, we don't.
So, I have some ideas for the next retro junk if you'd like to hear them.
Yes.
I wrote them down during the show.
Mm-hmm.
I got four movies.
Okay.
I'll go down the list.
Sure.
Double Impact.
Okay. I if you notice, I'm going in such an order that, like, we did an Arnold movie. We did, like, we did RoboCop. We did Van Damme. So if we do another Van Damme movie, I would like to do Double Impact, but mm-hmm. it will be later on down the road.
Total Recall.
Again, same rules apply.
Yeah. Demolition Man.
That would be a good
one.
And Time Cop.
Okay, I think if we're going to do... I would love to do Demolition Man. I actually watched it again recently.
It still
stands out. I like it. It's good.
Yes.
It falls somewhere in between Street Fighter and the other two movies we did. It's good and bad.
Yeah.
No, it's bad, but
I like it.
I think it's overall good.
Yeah, it's not. It's more enjoyable than Street Fighter.
Hell yeah, I have it.
You own it?
I do. I have.
Actually, I think it might be... It might stream on Netflix.
Dude, I got a 4-pack. It's got Demolition Man.
No shit.
It's got Over the Top.
Okay.
I think it's got Tango and Cash, possibly. Oh. No. Fucking what would be the other one? I don't know. I'm going to have to look in. Maybe it's just like a 3-pack. Brain Smasher? I don't know.
That's
no.
not a movie.
No, that wasn't him. That was, what's his fucking face?
That was, what's his face?
Andrew Dice Clay, who wanted to be Stallone so bad.
So yeah, Demolition Man would be a good one. I want to do a 3-part episode. I want to do all 3 Ninja Turtles movies.
Yeah.
Oh, and these are all movies that I have to really go back and revisit, too.
There are a lot of movies that...
Because they just don't...
Last time I saw Street Fighter, it was on VHS.
And I would like to do maybe Mask of the Phantasm. Yeah. That would be a good one to do.
Yeah, that'd be fucking awesome.
I think that's I would like to get into.
It would be super funny because it's just like it's such a good movie.
I know, yeah. Like, it's hard to come up with things to laugh about.
Yeah.
But, I think Demolition Man would maybe be a funny movie.
Yeah,
to,
well, I mean, I like...
Maybe it's movies that we can kind
of... I like these retro junks because it's movies that we just make fun of.
I know, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it, like, instead of...
Taco Bell won the franchise wars.
It did. We'll get into that.
Mascula Vandizum belongs
is a
on
very
list.
Good movie. Yeah.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
That we can talk about.
Yeah, I don't know. There's, like, I guess... I don't really call them, like, 90s movies, but, like... Demolition Man, Broken Arrow.
No, they have those movies that kind of fall through the cracks a little bit.
You know what I'm talking
about?
It's like they're not overall
they're not
shit
like
heaps.
They're not critical darlings or anything.
No, but like I don't cringe when they're on.
Yeah.
Even Twister is on that list. I don't cringe when it's
I don't
on.
Know
it's
if...
It's just a fucking...
I do.
90s
movie. I hated Twister.
I don't like Helen Hunt, but that,
no.
that's
we'll
a
get into that.
That's a different talk.
That's a different podcast.
It's a different talk.
I was a little, I don't know if it was me or this movie, but it didn't flow. You know what I mean? Like, the first two movies that we did, like, I was going, like, through the plot, like, and then this happened, and then this happened.
It's a fucking clusterfuck.
It's a total clusterfuck.
We're being very honest right now.
Yeah, I know. It's a little post-show. Maybe this could be, like, an extra episode.
Bonus.
Bono episode.
Bono.
But, yeah, so that's Street Fighter. Not good.
Fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Glad I own it.
And it cost you $4 bison to
it
buy
it.
It
did cost me $4 bison.
Bison.
I think at my next big party when I have to put up a prize. It's something that I do at parties of mine. Whenever there's
enough,
some kind of a party, I always put up a movie as the prize.
I won a signed copy of
Caddyshack
too.
You know,
by playing Street Fighter and winning.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, you. I
Street Fighter.
It was 4th of July, and the thing was beat Adam at Street Fighter 4. I went until, what, 2 in the morning?
It was crazy.
Yeah, I went till 2 in the morning, and then Corey was the first person to beat me. And he won a signed copy, signed by Chevy Chase. Might have been signed by me.
No, I believe it, and it was accurately advertised. It was advertised as signed Chevy Chase Caddyshack 2. It wasn't signed by, it is signed Chevy Chase.
Yeah, no.
I put it on eBay,
right?
I'm not going to be a liar.
Do you think Ghostbusters, we should do a Ghostbusters record?
See, I feel like that's too well known.
That's a very good movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Not so well
known. Not so well known.
But not so well talked about.
Yes. Not kind of discussed.
Sleeper.
Like, I know everyone's seen the Ninja Turtles movies, but they're not, like, universally loved or praised. Yeah.
I would want to talk about retro junk. I don't know, like Dutch. That's a good movie.
It's on Netflix. It's on Netflix.
No, it is?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
I think we glossed over one thing. One most important thing about
Street Fighter
that it's probably like the only thing I think of every time I think of Street Fighter.
With me?
Which is is Zangief doing the...
The sideways thumb?
The sideways thumb.
Yeah, and then at the very end, Van Damme takes his thumb and puts it up.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah, it does, man.
Oh, actually, there's one joke in that movie that still sort of makes me chuckle, is when the truck is heading to the tent to blow them up, and he goes, change the channel.
Yeah, change the channel.
It's funny, because they're watching out on the monitor, and it's coming for them.
Change the channel. Oh, Zangief's the best part of that movie. The
movie's a little racist, too.
Yeah, it is.
It's like so many stereotypes. All right, let's wrap this up. Let's get out of here. This is a long podcast. I really strained myself during this episode. I did a lot of yelling.
You got crunchy.
I yelled at the end of the last episode, and I yelled at the beginning of this one.
Give me a big scallop.
Burn me one. All right, so that was Retro Drunk Street Fighter. Hope you enjoyed it more than I enjoyed the movie. We'll be back with another episode. These just come out sporadically, so just keep your eyes on iTunes. Please rate and review us on iTunes. There's people that have been on this show who have not rated and reviewed us on iTunes.
Motherfuckers.
I ask you, please rate and review. Because it helps the algorithm.
Yes.
It helps. If we get enough rates and reviews and 5 stars, iTunes promotes you. That's the only reason I ask. It costs you literally nothing. My hobby does not cost you anything. It actually gives you entertainment.
That's pretty nice.
It costs
huh?
you a few minutes of your time.
That's it. I mean, we provide entertainment. I just need you to
time
go on iTunes
money.
And do a little clicky click.
You know,
clickety click.
Have a hot meal and a sit down nice.
Have a hot meal and a sit down nice.
Maybe request some retro junk ideas.
Yeah, if you have any ideas.
Yeah, if you want us to do a retro junk, please let us know.
I don't know how you would let us. Actually, no, you can let me know through. There's an email. We can't remember it.
Pup_junk@Twitter? Twitzone?
No.
We can comment on the Facebook, right?
Well, there's a Facebook, and then... no, you can easily find us on Twitter. The Twitter is pup_drunk.
Drunk.
No, it's pup_junk. So that's an easy way to find us on Twitter. There's a Facebook that I check like once a year. There's going to be an email next week. We'll make an email.
No, there's a Gmail now.
There might be a Gmail. I'll give you my personal... No, don't email me ever.
No.
All right, let's get out of here.
I'll give you my personal cell phone number.
I'll give you Evan's personal cell phone number.
I'll give you my personal cell phone
number. All right, this has been a long night.
Let's 5-5-5.
Let's get out of here. It was a pleasure as always. Just go to iTunes and rate and review. Don't even fucking email. I don't care. I was Adam.
I was Evan, and I'm going to kick Bias's ass so hard.
So hard.
The next Bison, one of these might do it.
Thank you.
And I was Corey, and I'm glad I didn't rewatch Street Fighter.
I'm glad I did.
Save myself some money.
Goodbye. Kyle? Alive?
Of course! So fuck! Of course!
Bison Dollar.
Axe. Bisonica.
Of course! Game over!
But for me, it was Tuesday
of the Pax Bisonica.
I guess you didn't see that. Did you?
Bison Dollar.
Pax. Bisonica.
It was Tuesday.
Game over!
Of course!